It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, zooming in these days from Arizona, and it's amazing we can pull this off technically, but I'm so glad we can. And you want to talk about, for this Christmas season, something that comes up a lot in your counseling, and that's people saying they are lonely, they don't have any friends, and different reasons for that. So,
Friends, family. It is, I thought, somewhat ironic. You know, they have SAD, seasonal affective disorder, and I've got that down in my notes as the question mark here, that a lot of people will be familiar with that. And I thought it was a bit ironic that this seems to emerge mostly during the, not just during the winter, but around the festive seasons. Because there's always it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, there are pretty high expectations. And I think that somewhat sets us up for that. But I wanted to do, first of all, before I got into the topic, I wanted to talk a little bit about, just kind of connect with the radio audience. I grew up in the Northwest. And a lot of times when I'm meeting clients now, they're describing to me where they live up in Washington, and they're describing it as to a person who's never been there, So they'll tell me where Lake Washington is and this and that.
You're right.
I've been there for a long, long time. And so the move down here in Arizona was just recent. We just felt the Lord moving us. We haven't completely defined or understood. We don't have all the ducks in a row just yet down here. But I am still licensed here, licensed there in Washington, and still seeing people in both states. And I wanted to just touch on the Zoom bit, because I think a lot of people are familiar with that, but a lot aren't. So the way that works is I get an email address from the client, and then I email them a link to the Zoom. And so they don't, as the client, they don't have to have a lot of technology or anything. Most computers now, within the past 15 years, have a camera built into the screen. So So you either have a camera built into the screen or a camera mounted on the screen, which isn't. And then from that point on, once you've got that, you don't need a program or anything. I just send the link, and people click on the link, and it takes them right to what they call the waiting room. And there I am, on the screen. So then we talk just like we're talking, I'm talking to you.
Well, a lot of people got used to this because during the pandemic, so many things moved to Zoom meetings and different kinds of online things. So I think people are getting pretty savvy with this. But you found, because of the pandemic and just the advances in technology, that most of your clients were coming to you on Zoom anyway.
It became more of a tool during that time. Mm-hmm. It's not so much a toy, but a tool. During that pandemic, people started working, using it as a real work tool. Doctors started seeing people online. Right. So loneliness is something that I hear a lot. As a matter of fact, not just this season, but throughout the year, loneliness, it's because we're so wired for relationship and community that when people have anxiety, depression, addictions. I always talk about addictions as the opposite of relationships. So, and addictions are just forms of depression and anxiety, or their responses to that. So that it's a pretty central relationship is very, very central to our human experience. And so it's disheartening a little bit, I think, to hear so many Christian people feeling like they're isolated. And of course, one of the things that comes out, I always ask, do you attend a church, and do you have a church fellowship? Now, and people will quite often say, no, haven't found a church that feels like I belong there, or, well, we have a church, but then we'll start listing off the issues with the church. Now, I know that my wife and I, coming down here, and we were chatting just before the show, Mark, that we're going back to a church that we went to a couple of times when we were vacationing down here, And it turns out that we're going to have to drive about a half an hour to this church, which doesn't seem like much up in the Seattle area, where just about everywhere is a half an hour drive.
Right.
It can be that way here too. But it's the church that, you know, I think everybody has a list in their mind or on paper of you know, kind of what kind of, you know, does this church check the boxes? And, you know, for us, it had to do with a number of things. And actually, I have down here, and people probably relate to this, we can chat about these in this first part of the show, but there are basically four major aspects to church life. And that, first of all, there's the fellowship, which by which I mean the relationships and the communion in the body, in the community. There's the worship, or what I should probably refer to it as congregational worship, because, you know, Scripture speaks of worship not just as music, but just your service to God. Mm. But when we talk about worship in the vernacular, we probably mean the music. And so I talk about congregational worship. That's one of the boxes that people are trying to check. And then there's the word, there's the teaching. People go for the word or the teaching. And finally, there's the mission or the outreach. And for my wife and I, this church that we found, I think it checks the box of the, we sense when we go there that the congregation, the people in the congregation know each other, appreciate each other, accept each other. You know, it's one of these churches where they still have microphones where people from the congregation can go up and share. So it's mm. obviously a more intimate congregation, about 400 people, I would say. Mm. And that was impressive to us. They're actually a family. They feel like a family. And a lot of churches you go and they don't feel like a family at all. And we've been to churches down here where we were kind of trying to find our feet down here. And it also checked the box of the outreach or the mission. They are very active in their community. Like a lot of churches, they have the big screens up there, but the big screens in this church don't feature the worship leaders or the pastor. They feature, they go on while they're getting ready for the service, and what they on the big screens are basically their outreach ministries and how you can get involved and who you'd be talking to and when they meet. So it's a very, it checked those boxes. As far as the teaching, for me, it didn't necessarily check that box, because I've been taught, you know, sure, growing up in a Christian home and a Christian school and Christian community for so many decades.
Christian radio.
I mean, Christian radio.
So much Christian media.
I really don't need to go to church to get teaching, so that's not something that I necessarily look for. And as far as congregational worship, being a bit of a musician, you know, I'm going to kind of soften that, because musicians probably wouldn't consider me a musician. But music's important to me, and I unless I'm in one of the older churches where they're singing out of the hymnal, I really don't get a lot out of the modern music, and I hear that from a lot of people, where it's either too loud or wrongly focused, or in some churches that I've gone to, it really does seem to be more like Christian entertainment than congregational
kind
worship.
Of a rock concert.
Yeah,
and everybody's kind of a spectator as opposed to a participant.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we went to a church a few Sundays back here, and they had the loud rock and roll band, and it was probably about 500-700 people in the congregation. And as I was looking around, nobody was singing. I would say less than 1 in 10, maybe 1 in 20, something like that, if that. But for the most part, people were just watching the words go by. And then there was this one song where it was pretty obvious that they had lines that had been cut out of a hymn, because I've, you know, been around hymns a long time, so I recognized the lines. And I was just in my mind wishing we could sing the hymn. And then interestingly, that their song transitioned into a verse out of the hymn. And as soon as they did that, about 75% of the people started singing.
Yeah, there you go.
And then they transitioned back, and everybody shut down again. Yeah. And I was just thinking, did you just see what happened?
Well, was it an older congregation?
No.
No. So even younger people.
Yeah. No, it was. But I think that a lot of the worship is eliminating like 50% of the congregation, because at least 50% of the congregation, because they're just targeting the mm-hmm. the 20 to 50 or 20 to 40. And so anybody like the 50s, 60s and older like that. So this was the church I'm talking about had quite a mix. It had a lot of young people and like mid-age people. I would, you know, probably just an average, you know, up through the 60s or 70s.
Mm-hmm.
People find, so you got basically large churches and small churches, and you could go down this list of fellowship, congregational worship, teaching and mission or outreach. And you could say, whether it's a large church or a small church, they will have their unique shortcomings.
Sure.
Some more than others. I think in the larger churches, people could say, you know, it's easy just to get lost and they feel impersonal, or it's hard to get in, or
feel like an outsider.
Feel like an outsider. I know a lot of those larger churches have, well, a lot of churches, I think most churches now, I've seen churches with a congregation of 20 that had home groups.
is a home group in some places.
Yeah, that is a home group. So I think a lot of churches, the majority of churches probably have cell groups but even like if you've got, you know, 6,000 people in your church and you've got cell groups, even the cell groups can feel like, you know, just daunting to try to find. And I don't know, you know, something we talk about a little later on, talk about maybe some of the things that people can do to address those things, pastors or people who have the pastor's ear, or you know, a group of people that want to see some change in the church. There might be some ways to do that. Smaller churches sometimes can for different reasons feel like the family's already defined and it's hard to get in.
Yeah. This is a clique and I'm not part of the group. Yeah.
So those are the problems.
Well, let's talk about some of those solutions after the break here.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned before, you are doing all counseling online now. And what's interesting, though, about online counseling and Zoom and things, even though it maybe seems impersonal, it's actually mm-hmm. can be quite personal and quite effective and quite useful. And that is mm-hmm. the way you're counseling now. And even though you're in Arizona, you can Zoom in with anybody in so many ways. Mm-hmm. It's so much more convenient for people, so they don't have to travel. Mm-hmm. But how do people get in touch with you, Daniel, for your services?
Yeah, same phone number, 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People can also get me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com. And I might add that my postal address, if people want to get in touch with me for other reasons, my postal address is at that BibleBasedCounselor.com. So you know where I you can Google my home. And
Okay, back with more of Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor and the Sound Mind broadcast here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, talking with Daniel Pryor this week about the subject of loneliness. And it's interesting, Daniel, as we were mentioning in the first half, a lot about church life. People who come to you a lot of times, then you ask them, do they go to church? And most often they say no. So I think there's a correlation here. If people aren't particularly involved in church, maybe those are the people actually who are your primary customers.
Well, yeah, either they don't attend church, or there's a church that they attend, but it's not ministering to them in some way. They are isolated within the church, and I know what that feels like, and I can certainly relate to that. I was talking to one gal the other day who takes her family to church, and she was talking about how the music was really in this particular church. You know, we were talking earlier about, Mark, about how it seems like a lot of the churches, the formula churches, have gone to kind of a rock and roll format where it's more of Christian entertainment than it is congregational worship. Mm-hmm. I think there's a place for Christian entertainment, and I love it, but it's not the same thing as congregational worship, and I think that's an issue in the church, because
absolutely,
I think that's a big. And she had her kids plugging their ears for the music, and I thought, well, if the young people are plugging their ears, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, I know. When I first got involved in church as a new Christian, I didn't have any background either way, any hymns or anything. And it was more charismatic kinds of churches.
Yeah, sure.
But it was contemporary songs, but there was something about the charismatic worship that was very, very inviting, very involving. But mm-hmm. it does seem, even that kind of worship seems to have given way to more of a kind of a rock concert spectator.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody up there on stage is so good and so professional mm-hmm. a lot of times. Yeah. It's like, how can I connect with this at all? I mean, who can possibly compete with this?
Yeah, that's true. And I think back in the charismatic days, you did have like somebody would bring a guitar, but the chords were simple and the words were simple. And so, and people say, well, you know, this music too simple, but it is for congregational singing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a lot of the music now is not really for congregational singing. It's, you know, the guitarists and the drummers and the keyboard people want to play complicated chord progression.
Yeah, it's very daunting.
Yeah, at least people.
It's entertaining.
Well,
entertaining, but it's not worship necessarily.
Yeah,
doesn't feel worshipful.
I forget where I read this, but something along the lines of when you're in congregational worship and singing is a very soulish, and there's some vulnerability in raising your voice and singing,
mm-hmm.
and spiritual songs, raising your voice and singing to God. There's something. That presents a vulnerability, and if you can do that next to brothers and sisters in the Lord, there's a communion that takes place that isn't going to take place if you can't worship like that together and let down your defenses.
Well, yeah, raising your hands even can be kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, sure.
So even that form of worship.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you're talking about loneliness, though. How to break the loneliness.
And every church has missing pieces. I think one of the things that looking towards some solutions and things that we can do, one of the things I think that I kind of see maybe God doing is like defragging in the church, because
what do you mean by that?
The body of Christ. I was talking to some people recently. Actually, quite a number of people, but it just kind of came home this last couple of weeks, where somebody talking about they had a lot of this person was from an Indian reservation on the other side of the country, and they moved out here. So the benefits from that reservation didn't follow them out here, and now they're out here, and it's different tribes, and so they have all these social needs. And there's no place in the church. And I think that every church, if it's not in their church, they should know where it is in another church, where there's a social worker, maybe not a certified or licensed, but somebody who knows the system and can help people get plugged into benefits. I think every church should have that phone number on their bulletin board So avail those people to those kinds of services. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things. And there are teachings that are available. Not every church has the resources for teaching or for services to the community, but they might know of a church where they do have those teachings and they do have those resources. So I think that when I say defragging, I think that what God might want is for the body of Christ to pool their resources.
Mm-hmm.
and begin to unite rather than have so much divisiveness. And our church is better because we do this kind of
silo,
music,
or
we
have the silo mentality. Our church doesn't. Our church is an older congregation, so there's not as many young kids, and so we team up with other churches for our youth outreaches.
Sure.
Multiple churches. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something that is on the horizon. So I wanted to point out some of the things that might be the wrong mindset for us if we can't find fellowship in the church. So three things: we might have the wrong focus, we might have the wrong goal, or we might have a wrong plan of our method. So the wrong focus is focusing on myself and what I think I need. It's intuitive, but it's counter-scriptural.
Mm-hmm.
It's more blessed to give than to receive. Cast your bread on the waters, and in due season it will return to you. You know, scriptures like that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. There's so many scriptures that I actually did a radio show back in February of 2017.
Wow.
Did a radio show on when it's all about me.
Mm-hmm.
And people might want to check back there. You know, you go to the BibleBasedCounselor.com to the podcast and just search back to February 2017, and you'll see a radio show when it's all about me. And there's also an article, When It's All About Me, published in April 2017 on ChristianCounselorsForum.com. ChristianCounselorsForum.com, you just go into the archives and go back, look down the list at April 2017, and you'll find an article on When It's All About Me. So we can have the wrong focus, and if we have the wrong focus, our cup is never going to be filled, because the joy of the Lord is in serving. And if we're focused to ourselves, this articles and radio shows, When It's All About Me, points out a number of reasons why I will never be satisfied when it's about me. It just can't work.
Yeah.
The second one may be the wrong goal. Sometimes we have too high expectations or unrealistic expectation. One of the things to remember is spiritual life is not as much about getting things done as it is about doing things.
Mm.
It's not about getting things done. It's about the doing of things, because the goal of spiritual life is spiritual maturity. And that you don't get spiritual maturity by getting things done. You get spiritual maturity by hanging in there in the process.
Mm.
So we got to remember that it's not about getting things done. It's about the doing of things, the process, God working his Christ-likeness in our lives, in our hearts, while we're doing
things. It's not a checklist, not a thing of work.
It's not a checklist.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The third one I have that might be a wrong plan or method, and this is just practical things where, again, I think it was June 2016, there's an article at ChristianCounselorsForum.com setting a course for change, and basically goes like this. This is a familiar business model too, where first of all, in order to get something done, and let's say I want to pull a committee together because I want to address some issues in the church, and say the pastor says, yeah, go ahead, take the reins and get going. So now I want to try to pull something together. So, you know, there it's like five questions. You know, what is our objective? And this actually can be for husbands and wives that aren't communicating, and they want their marriage to get better, or they want their family to get better, or they want their work to get better, or they want the church to get better. It'd be the same for any of those where you say, "What is our objective?" And so you write down a reasonable objective, a meaningful objective, and you say, okay, the second one is, if we continue in our current mode, are we going to reach our destination? In other words, do we have to change? And that's a part A and part B. Part A is, well, if we continue doing things the way we're doing them, are we going to arrive at our destination or our objective? This part B is, does it really matter? I mean, can we settle for less? So part A and part B is, do we have to change in order to meet our objective? And we say yes. Part three is, what are we going to change? And so somebody might say, well, we need to change the way we communicate, or we need to change some the format of the Sunday school programs, and then the fourth one is, how are we going to measure our change? So now we're zeroing down to what are we actually going to do that's a measurable that's a measurable step toward that outcome. And then the last one is number five, is how do I remember the first four, which is simply doing a mission statement. And so I make a practice of making a bookmarker with my mission statement on it, which has, what is my objective? Do I have to change? What am I going to change? How am I going to measure my change? So if you're trying to lose an addiction, or you're trying to increase the affection in your marriage, or the functionality in your church or your business, that's a pretty common. I want to remind people of Romans or Hebrews 12:1, and this is something I need to get a hold of. He talks about laying aside every sin and every weight that laying aside every weight and the sin that easily besets you. And we talked about this before. Sins are easy to identify. Those are the, that's wrong. I shouldn't lie, or I shouldn't be looking at that, or I shouldn't be drinking that, or, sins are pretty easy. It's the weights that hold us back that are hard to identify, because they're not immoral. They're just keeping me from running my race. But it's important that I understand what is my race. And this is, because if I don't know what race I'm supposed to be running, it's hard for me to identify the things that are holding me back, because they're not immoral. They're just things that are getting in my way. So one of the things that I would encourage people to do is really put some thought and prayer into, what is it that I do? Because a lot of times going into a congregation, whether it's a large church or small church, you will find, if God's put you there, you will find what it is that you're supposed to be doing. But you do have to kind of look and see, what is it that I do? I mean, if I'm complaining about there's nothing to do, what is it that I would do? What is the race that I am to run? And what's holding me back from those? And then to remember that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, says Solomon. Do it for the glory of the Lord, whatever you find to do, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Do it heartily as unto the Lord, because we serve the Lord. And we have to believe and bear in mind that he is going to reward.
Some of the ways to tackle loneliness this season, and how to maybe get back involved in church and getting your expectations in line. People need more help, though, with loneliness or anything else, maybe marital issues they're going through this time of year or into the new year. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also, through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, you're going to see a lot of many, many years of radio podcasts and articles at ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
And all your counseling online now through Zoom or other online methods. Okay,
that's right.
Also, always great stuff with Daniel Pryor, Sound Mind broadcast on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.